And it was really amazing. I wonder if there, maybe somebody that was there wants to share something, you know, just before we continue. If there's something special that you wanna share. Think about it. Iemand, my vrou, wil jy, Joanna?
Okay, ek breek nie die ys. So ons gaan nou die res oproep. I think what is very special for me at Convergence, I haven't missed one yet, so I've been to everyone. And this year there were not a lot of bells and whistles. There were not glitter balls in the air. There were not papier-mâché doves in the foyer. There were, it's as if it was rugged. But the presence of the Lord was so, so all over us there. It was so beautiful. It just reminded me again, those things are nice to have, but they are not it's not a necessity to experience the Lord's presence. And I was reminded also about the time that I went on a mission trip and the worship that we had between the four of us were terrible. Because none of us were musicians and we tried to like worship every morning. It was terrible. But I've never experienced the Lord as intimately than those few days when we actually had worship. So it just blessed me. The plain, the simple, but the hearts were in the right place. The people were so excited just to see one another again after 3 years. They were so excited just to get into the Lord's presence. They were desperate to press into the Lord's presence that none of those other things, the coffee and the lights, it didn't matter. It really blessed my heart just to see the bigger family just pulling together to reach Jesus, yeah.
Amen. Hello, will you talk it still?
I'm not sure if she will, but she must now.
Morning. I think what stood out for me was really just the confirmation that we are hearing God's voice. The first opening evening already, it was if God was just reiterating stuff that He's already been or have said to us. Over the last couple of sermons that we had, Daniel wat gekom het, and Rick's sermon, it was just as if everything was tying in together. And the end result is just to, you know, jy praat weer oor holiness. Just to know that God is holy. And even the worship, it was not about us. It was not about getting goosebumps. It was just being there because God is holy. He is worthy of being praised. And He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our worship. He is holy. And yeah, that was one of my highlights, I think. Just to see that God has been preparing the field or the ground for us. And yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
Amen. Stefanie, will you still? Don't worry, I'm not going to call out everyone. Lou kan ontspan, Sarah.
Thank you. Yes, this was my first Convergence because I'm new to Shofar. The part about worship was something that came to my heart very deeply. And I don't know if Aunt Silly was at Convergence. Were you there? And I watched her this morning. One of the things that a person said about the worship is when you worship, when you sing, you bow down. You actually bow down. When you say and sing, I lift up my hands, do you actually do that? Because worship is an outward expression of the inward stature. And she also said, if someone else comes into your congregation for the first time and you sing I bow down and everybody stands like that, does he get it that you are worshiping and singing and praising the worthy God? And I actually saw it in Aunt Silly this morning when she sang I lift up my hands, and now when we sang I build my life unto your love, it's a solid foundation. And I could actually see the way she expressed what we were singing. And worship is not, like Alida said, the worship was terrible because we couldn't sing. That's not it. The worship is what you do, not what the band does. So you can't go out in the morning and say, the worship didn't do it for me today, because you're the one who did it. So that is the one thing that stood out to me. We worship a holy God, but it's an outward expression of our inner stature, and that is something that I'll always remember.
Thank you, Stefanie. Yeah, so the plan, actually, one of the plans this morning was that we join the streaming from Paulington. That's Wellington and Paul together, Paulington. But they're still worshiping. You know, so Niels told me, no, we worship an hour long. And then I'm like, no, we're not going to synchronize that with the Kinderkerk and alles and so on and so on. So I'm going to bring the word this morning. And I think that was my highlight of the convergence, or one of the highlights was that, like, who said it now? Elo said, you know, we hear from the Lord. You know, and obviously the guys there, they put meat to the messages, but you can see the golden line when we are in discussions with one another and we talk about things. It's beautiful to see what God is highlighting and what He is busy with. And many times it's even you that yourself, you think, hey, I have this fleeting thoughts about something. And you're like, where does it come from? But God speaks to us. He speaks to us as a family. And I think that's always encouraging, is if you go to something like that and you're like, well, I know I'm a bit cuckoos, but sometimes you hit the mark, you know, and you can always work on your presentation and bring it over. But you realize that because we serve the same Jesus, the same Lord, we're part of the same family, we carry the same message in our hearts as well. We just communicate it differently many times. So that was encouraging. And then just an announcement that I want to highlight this is on the church's cell phone, I sent through the streaming links of the speakers. So obviously you guys are here. You can't join the streaming. I will be very offended if you join the streaming now of another church. So when you know op your phone gaan stream terwijl ek preek hier so nie, you know, focus. But for tonight, the links is available as well. And I really want to encourage you, you know, just to go and listen to some of the guys. And obviously all the sessions will be available in future as well. And then we'll promote it and maybe get together sometime and watch some of the things as well. But if you can see your way tonight not to watch, what do you watch on Sundays? What is there to watch on Sundays? Well, there's Netflix, you can watch anything these days, but your favorite thing. So tonight maybe, I'm going to switch it off and I'm going to stream something. It's very blessed. Very, very, very blessed. Okay, maar goed, that's it. Was daar nog iets? The offering people, they happy. Children's Church people, they there. Koffie is reg. Is it worship? Kom ons bid. Gaan ek preek. Right. Lord, thank you for your precious word. That is a lamp onto our feet, Lord. And God, the sun is shining outside, Lord, and we can see physically, but the reality is we live in a dark world. And we live in a challenging world, Lord. And therefore, we need light. We need guidance. We need to see where we walk. We need to see where we touch. And we thank you for your word that is so precious. And we want to thank you for your spirit that takes the word and illuminates it in our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as the word go out today, Lord, that you will let it fall in the good soil, Lord. Thank you for hearts that is prepared and for hearts that is receptive, Lord. Soos klam grond that can receive that soil, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. Amen. All right. So last week, my sermon's title was Hunger for Godliness. So this week, I'm always bad with coming up with titles. This week, it's Hunting for Holiness. You see, what is the word? Alliteration. Alliteration. Is that the right word? It's an alliteration. You know what an alliteration is? That's an alliteration. Okay. But there's a trap in there. There's a trap in there. Not, nothing to do with the hunting, but there's a trap in my title, and I'll try to elaborate on that today a little bit. So that's like a bit of a corny title, maybe, Hunting for Holiness. It's very overdramatic. We can talk about the pursuit for holiness. We can once again talk about the hunger for holiness. We can talk about the desire for holiness. And you know, as we wrestle sin in our lives, on the one hand, we wrestle sin. We try to subdue stuff in our lives, bad habits, things that mess with what we think and what we feel. There's a wrestle, and there's supposed to be that wrestle with sin. We cannot be blasé with sin. We have to be alert. We have to be like warriors that is ready to fight the good fight. So on the one hand, we wrestle sin, and on the other hand, we fight for our faith. And that's what Jesus said. He's going to return, and he said, if I return, will I find faith? So we wrestle with sin on the one hand, and we fight for our faith on the other hand. And it's two sides to the, you know, to the same coin. And we in the process, many times our aim is just to become better people, better in how we feel and think about ourselves, and better how we think and feel and act towards other people, the rest of humanity. And I was thinking about my title, you know, the Hunting for Holiness, and I realized, you know, when you think about a hunter, you know, he's after a prey many times, but it's an elusive prey. You know, I've been in the veld as well, in the bush, and sometimes you don't get anything. There's nothing. You know, you return empty-handed and disappointed. Okay, and in the olden days, if you went hunting and you returned empty-handed, you know, you have nothing for the pot. You got the pot against the head from the wife, because where's the meat? Because the children are crying and the snotneses are looping and everything, and you wasted the bullets. You didn't get it. You know? So when we think about hunting, we don't always get the prey. So that's not a good title, Hunting for Holiness. It's a bit crude. It's a bit impersonal. If we say we hungry, I think many times, you know, if you don't get what you expected, and if you're not fed the way that you expected, and what you smelled and what you taste is not the same thing, you end up hangry. You know that expression. You're hungry, and now you're angry as well. Angry. Because the food smelled nice and then it burnt, and now you have to eat gebrande rice. You're hangry. Okay, so I don't even know why I'm talking about this. This is just probably my intro, my nerves getting settled, but it will fall somewhere very, very nice. The thing that I want to get to today is, when we talk about holiness, I think it's even a difficult concept to explain. What is holiness? I mean, what comes to mind when you hear the word holy? Or when it comes to when I say that person is so heilig. Huh? My vrou is so heilig. Or that guy at work is so heilig. He's so holy. There's a religious connotation to that word that actually pollutes it. Do you agree with me? It's like, it's even sometimes to the point that you go like, I don't want to be heilig. Want ek is die drip, I'm the drag, ek is die koek. You know, I'm the boring person. Are you with me? In the talk of the world. So when we have to ask ourselves, are you hungry for holiness? Do you have a desire for holiness? You have to get over that obstacle, that perception of what holiness is. So that in itself is a big challenge already, because the world takes the name of our Lord, the Holy One, and perverts it, turned it into a swear word. Okay? Became so familiar with the name of Jesus that it turned into a swear word. So when we pursue holiness, what are we after? And I think the challenge that we have many times when we talk about, you know, because whether I say, listen, we should pursue holiness, we should have a hunger for holiness, and I say we should become more like Jesus, isn't that the same thing? Because the word challenges us and says, be holy, for I am holy. God is holy. And we know that when we come to Christ Jesus, we are justified, we are made righteous, and we are made holy, perfect, by the blood of Jesus. That's why God the Father can look at us, and He doesn't keep our sin and our wickedness and our grotesqueness against us, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us of all unrighteousness. But then we know that the Word talks about us having to be made holy as well. Heilig maken. Sanctification. We have to be sanctified. So there's this process on this side of life where we still have to grow, where we still have to become like Jesus more and more and more and more. And where we as a people have a big challenge is, and that's why I'm saying there's a trap in the word hunting for holiness, because hunting is a lot of effort. Hunting is a lot of work. Pursuing is a lot of work. There's a lot of sweat and action and frustration in that process. And we as a people, many times, when we have the revelation, I have to become more like Jesus. You know? Somewhere we find rest eventually in the fact that we are all sinners. We are all condemned without Christ Jesus. So praise God that He has come to seek and save the lost, and that I have been made holy by the blood of Jesus. But then it's as if we jump into another category where we tell ourselves, okay, now Jesus did that work. I have to take over now. I have to now work out my sanctification. And yes, there's a place where the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But it never says do it on your own. There's never supposed to be a stage in our lives where we try to work out our sanctification on our own. We cannot do it. That's why we end up frustrated over and over and over again. We like somebody that, and I'm not condemning you if you're into no, let me not use that explanation. Let me think about some. We like gamblers that gamble, you lose your money, but you go for it again. You're going to put something on the horses again. You're going to throw the dice again, because maybe this time it's going to be better. Talking about working out my sanctification. So we end up in a place of self-sanctification that frustrates you like crazy. You're trying to become holy. You're trying to become more and more like Jesus, but you end up frustrated. Then you're like, okay, this doesn't work on my own. I'm going to get a friend, because somewhere I heard something about accountability. Somewhere I heard something about fellowship. Somewhere I heard something about community. So now you're like, I'm going to buy a buddy. I'm going to buy him a cup of coffee, and then I'm going to ask him to help me to work out my holiness. We're going to be accountable. Okay? I know that's what's standing between me and holiness this month is pornography. Okay? It's not a voorbeeld. It's not real. Well, for some people, it's real. Okay? So now I'm like, okay, buddy, let's just be accountable. And I said it last week. I said we have to move into a place where we are like serious about accountability, where there's a seriousness about transparency. Maybe that's why I said this morning again, let's start with a hug. A hug in a mug. Let's start with that. The point I'm trying to make is that also doesn't always work. When it comes to pornography, you can have all the, what do you call it, the fail safes and the computer watchdogs and the accountability. You can have all of that in place. But what happens is you can actually, by accountability, get it right to stop watching your pornography. But what you're going to do is you're just going to exchange one outward sin with an inward sin. Okay? So yes, I'm not watching lustful, ugly stuff anymore. But hallelujah, I've overcome this thing. And without even wanting that to happen, pride, little pride, seeps into your life. Or you're angry. You struggle with anger. You become angry so much and you express it outside. Jy vloek en skree en gaan te kere. And people are like, that guy's got a problem. That man has a problem. He needs to deal with his problem. He's got to go for anger management or whatever. Okay? Then he goes for anger management and for all the psychological therapies and whatever he needs. And once again, accountability and go and sees the pastor and and he's in the small group and everything is in place for us to manage our sin, to fight our sin, to wrestle with our sin and to fight for our holiness on the other side. I come to church because I want to fight this thing. So we have our structures in place. Okay? But there's some of us sitting here that don't struggle outside with our angriness. We struggle with it on the inside. You are one of those ticking time bombs. You brom and grom and... But nobody sees that. It's under the surface, waiting to explode. And maybe you're never going to explode to the outside, but you're going to die of a heart attack. Okay? Not saying that everybody that dies from a heart attack has anger problems. That's not what I'm saying. But once again, the root of sin has not been dealt with. There's just been an exchange, outward for inward. And the problem with us as believers, or the challenge that we have, is that many times we try to deal with, in our pursuit, in our hunt for holiness, the same that the world does in trying to achieve a good moral life and a good moral standing. So when we are in self-sanctification mode that we do over and over again, and you hit your head, hit your head, hit your head. No reference to the scar on my head. That was really an accident. I won't do that over and over again. Not recommended. But if you hit your head over and over again, and we do that, don't we? Is that the enigste een that tries that? That like misunderstand working out your own salvation is either trying it on your own or getting a buddy. That is how I try to pursue my holiness. We do it over and over again. And we actually just end up in a place of moral pursuit and not holiness. So some of you out there are like, when is he going to read a scripture? Now. Okay? The point I think I'm trying to make this morning is that, you know, we become experts in the Christian life without growing any closer to Christ. There's a brother here in the church this morning. We had, I'm reminded of that. We had coffee this morning. So we were talking about all the things in church that can be in place and should be in place. And if we add this and we add that and we have this structure and this is awesome and worship is happening and we like just with your church that's happening and there's momentum going and we're just amazing. It's just goosebumps day in and day out. Awesome. We're happening. You know, everything is in place. Then he said, he peeped on my parade. He said, if we have everything in place, relationally, structurally, momentumally, alles, things will still go wrong. Because we are people. and we are messy, and we are broken, and we are hurt. And that is the story of, and I think many times we go into escapism with church. We want to escape reality by getting everything in place, but not dealing with the heart, not dealing with the insides. And then when we get to that revelation of, we have to deal with the insides of the heart, we're like, who would it do? We're like, go, go, ho. We become foolish in that. We don't really know how to deal with that. And as you're sitting here, you're kind of like thinking and hoping for a five-step plan to find holiness. Anyone? I mean, you'll come to church and like, what's the surprise going to be today? What's he going to talk about today? And I'm like, I'm talking about holiness. And you're like, oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. I can grow in my appetite for holiness. I can smell holiness. I can feel it. I don't understand it. And then you're like, what's the five-step plan to get holiness? Let me pee on your parade. I don't have a five-step plan for you. You're going to have to figure it out. But I am going to say one thing today that I really believe. It's the obvious one that's going to help form our perspective, perceptions. Mark 10, 17 to 21. Here's the scripture. It's about the rich young ruler. Okay? It says, as he was leaving, that's Jesus. As he was leaving on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, this is the Amplified version, you who are essentially good and morally perfect, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is essentially good by nature except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he replied to him, teacher, and I've never really seen this, I have carefully kept all these commandments since my youth. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love, a high regard, a compassion for him, and he said to him, you lack one thing, go and sell all your property and give the money to the poor, and you will have abundant treasure in heaven, and come follow me, become my disciple, believing and trusting in me and walking the same path of life that I walk. So this man, according to his efforts, had his do's and don'ts in check. According to the list that Jesus gave him here as well, there was more not to do's than do's. There was just this one to do, honor father and mother. And then the other to do was go and sell all your property. So who of you have read this and felt condemned or convicted in a sense? I don't know what you felt. But you're like, you know, I can relate with this young man. And it seems that I finally found the answer. I have to go and sell everything that I have and follow Jesus. But I don't think that is what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not just referring here to money and to riches. Obviously he is. But he's also speaking here about effort. He's also showing out to this young man, you know, that you have done very well in maintaining the laws. You have done very well in maintaining the do's and the don'ts. But there's still this one thing. And I think that even if this young man would have sold all his stuff, and the issue in his heart of trying to work out his own salvation wasn't dealt with, Jesus would have told him another frustrating thing. You know, that isn't in place. You lust. You do this. You do that. I believe something that we have to read in this is that Jesus is trying to show this young man that you cannot do this on your own. There's nothing that you have to do to find this holiness. or can do on your own, in your own effort. Jesus is inviting him and saying, you have to follow me. You have to surrender your whole life to me. There's a place where you have to totally give over. Give over this effort. Give over this frustration. Give over this challenge. And in my title story, give over this hunting for holiness. Because so many times this round I'm talking about holiness. Next week we'll talk about something else. And every time we end up in a place maybe where we like, hey, I need that. And I think I have to work really hard to get that. But the love of God invites us to a place where he's like saying, no. No, you cannot earn this. Because our challenge, if we want to become holy and we are self-sanctifiers, is our efforts become mechanical and it becomes individualistic. We're just going through the motions. We like, I'll come to church and then that will make me feel better. I'll go to small group, that will make me feel better. I'll get my structures and everything in place, that will make me feel better. And I can do it. And we end up in the same place as the young man to say, okay, Lord, I'm a bit frustrated. I see there's something there in your persona and I hear, you know, you're the Savior. How can I be saved? What should I do to be saved? And our challenge is that we many times pursue the holiness or the goodness or the morality, mechanically, individualistically. And God's intention was always, it's supposed to be relationally. You're like, okay, I get that. That's why I bought an accountability buddy. He says, no. It's relationally with me. That's what Jesus is trying to say. If you want to pursue holiness or godliness or anything of that, you have to pursue the Holy One. You have to follow the Holy One. You have to have a deep, deep desire for Jesus Himself. That's what you have to grow. That's what you have to focus on. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And then, the holiness works out itself. Josh, you can jump to Matthew 23, verse 27. There Jesus warns about this religious spirit that actually just facilitates all kinds of emptiness. And a religious mind, it always attempts to operate in this area where it wants us to have the stuff of God, the Christ-like stuff, the Christian stuff, but without Christ. And many times we're satisfied with that. But we don't grow in holiness apart from Jesus. So Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 27, woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. John 15, verse 4 to 5, speaks about us have to remain in the vine, in the branch, in Christ. Without Him, we cannot bear any fruit. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit, producing evidence of your faith, unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from vital union with me, and you can do nothing. So the only people who can truly kill their sin, overcome their sin, and walk victoriously are those who are absolutely preoccupied, not with holiness or godliness, but with Jesus. the holy person. That's why I said there's a trap in my title. Don't go hunting for holiness. When you open your Bible, when you come to church, when you do some spiritual discipline, when you go to a small group, your primary focus should be on a person, the person of Jesus Christ. So hunting is a bad example. A love story is a better example. If you open the Bible to get a koringkorrelkie for the ochend or for your day, that's okay. You'll get something because the word is alive. But it's much better if there's an intimate aspect involved to this. It's much better when I open the Bible and I'm like, I'm here to meet with the lover of my soul. God, I want to commune with you. And I don't know if you guys have realized it the last couple of times. Well, it's not the last couple of times. For me, it's been this whole year, maybe longer. The times when, you know, those Sundays where we do worship and communion, I start weeping every time. Because there's something intimate about that when we do communion. There's something about the Lord's table that is so intimate. It's personal. It's close. And may we never lose the wonder. May we never lose that. May we not go off on trips where we want to be better people, but we try to do it without God. We try to do it without Jesus. May our pursuit of godliness, may our pursuit for holiness be the pursuit of the holy person. Be the pursuit of the Holy One. May our prayers be, Lord, reveal more of yourself to me so that I can be in love with you. Not just your attributes. Because in that communion, I'm changed. In that communion, I am formed. And in that place, I'm safe. And it's in that place where we are reminded of the Father's love for us over and over and over again. Because many times we walk from those intimate places and we mess up, or other people mess up. And then ugly stuff come out from me because the pressures of the world squeezes me. But every time I return in prayer or in whatever discipline it is to that place of intimacy, I'm reminded of what Christ did for me. I'm reminded of what the Father's love means to me. And I feel secure. I feel secure in that place. I think that was one of the beautiful things that came out every time in Yenka sessions, is the reminder that, yes, God wants to take us into deeper levels of His glory, of His purity, of His holiness. But it cannot happen outside of our understanding and appreciation of the love that the Father has for us. And this morning I woke up a bit tired after this weekend and I was thinking to myself, you know, I know I'm going to probably preach about holiness today and I don't understand that. I don't have my head around that. I cannot cognitively express all of that. But there's something that brings me comfort. That even if I don't come over very good, is that I'm loved. I can be like a child. Father God has me in His arms. He loves me. He loves me. And it's such a precious commodity. It's such a precious commodity to have the peace and the love and the joy of God in our lives. Let's not take it for granted. Let's steward it. Amen. Did you get what I'm trying to say this morning? Not here, but here. Can we stand? We read in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. God, I want to thank you that you are stirring in us, Father God, a hunger for more of you. We want to thank you, Father God, Lord, that there's a desire in your church to walk in purity, Lord. And God, we want to come today, Lord, and just bring ourselves to you and ask, Holy Spirit, come and reveal Christ to us. Lord, I know I have prayed in the past, Lord, come and shine your light on our hearts so that we can see the wickedness and the ugliness. And maybe sometimes that's necessary, Lord, just to wake us up. I don't know. But this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just come and reveal more of Christ to us. We want to declare again today, Lord, that we are satisfied, but we are also hungry and thirsty for more. We are satisfied, Lord, in you. But we know, God, there's parts of us that needs to be awakened to taste and see more of your goodness. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you will come and help with that. Just for a moment, in your own words, just speak to Jesus. Just tell him where you are at. Tell him if you feel religious or dry. Maybe you had a fantastic morning. Then you just thank him. Thank him for what he has revealed about himself to you. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone that, you know, if you want to share something, if there's something that you feel you want to just share what Jesus has been speaking to you about himself, about his character and who he is, you want to share that with us. Don't leave us poor, like someone said this week. Come and share that. Come and share what God has revealed about his heart for his church. Someone wrote that the holiest Christians are not those most concerned about holiness as such, but those whose minds and hearts and goals and purposes and love and hope are most fully focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we need help with that. Lord, we know that as we walk out of here, the glitz and the glamour and the traumas and the tragedies of this world is going to tempt us and distract us, Lord. The storms, Lord, is going to distract us. And it's going to want us to think you are not in the boat anymore. Because we will start to look at the waves again. We will start to look at the effect of the wind. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for this man with the mic in his hand. Pray, God, that you will remind each one of us that you are in the boat with us, Lord. In every storm, every challenge. May we find holiness in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for people this morning who's tired of their efforts of self-sanctification. And you'll know it. Maybe, you know, there's a specific sin that you're like, I struggle with that thing, man. And I've tried everything. I don't get it right. I'd love to pray with you. And with you, just say, Lord, we just invite you in. We invite you in, Lord. I've tried everything now. I just want to invite you. If you someone who are tired of self-sanctification, if you are someone who's tired of your own efforts, there's stuff that you want to surrender. Maybe there's even good things, good actions, good dreams, but you just want to surrender it to the Lord. And I want you to come to the front. Come and stand here in front so that we can lay those holy hands, those blood-washed hands on one another. But we won't know about your struggles and we won't know about your challenges if you don't come out. I'm just going to wait a little longer. Thank you that you're raising up a humble, vulnerable, transparent generation, Lord. Thank you, God, that you break the yoke of pride and shame in our lives. Maybe I have some more ladies here just to come and lay hands on them and pray for them. Tanisili. Yes, now 67. Jy kan nou vir hulle kom bid. Dankie. Okay, so you guys don't have to be super spiritual. Talk to one another. Tell the person that's praying for you, what is your challenge? What are the things that you're trusting God for? What are the things that you're fighting for? What are the things that you're fighting against? If you're not standing here in front, you can sit down. Don't run for the coffee now. But I want you to pray for the people standing here in front. You can stretch out your hand and just pray that they will experience the love of the Lord Jesus. that they will experience a touch of the Holy Spirit, whether it be now, here in this place, during this day, during this week, and that they'll have a breakthrough in that area. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you're welcome where you sit or stand, you know, maybe just to share with the person next to you. Ask for prayer as well there. Pray for one another. Lay those holy hands on one another. Break those boundary walls. Thank you, Jesus. Just have this the picture that we try to wash ourselves, clean ourselves, but we take we actually take dirt, we stick our hand not in the liquid soap but in the asblik, in the dustbin, and we take rubbish and then we wash ourselves. And I just feel God is this morning is just is replacing that habit with soap. He's replacing that habit of trying to wash yourself with dirt. And he's just opening your hand and he's putting soap in there. And he's actually teaching you to properly wash. I just believe that's the name of Jesus. That's just the person of Jesus in your hand. And you wash with Jesus, and it's relational, and it's a siepivati oprak. It doesn't melt away. It's just you applying Jesus to your life. You're applying Jesus to your life. It's the meditation of your words. It's on your lips. His name is on your lips daily. You replace habits of swearing, you know, when you go through the day with prayer. Habits of frustration, patterns in your mind that is causing frustration. You're replacing that with the name of Jesus. You're just calling out the name of Jesus over your circumstances. Over your circumstances. And in total surrender. You don't even have an expectation. It's not like, God, I'm busy with a deal here. I'll call out your name and then you'll sort out this issue. It's just Jesus. I just call on you because you're my lover, and I want you to be with me in this situation now. I don't want to deal. I don't want to prostitute our relationship now. I just want the name above all names. I just want the person, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to be with me in this situation. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we invite you, Lord, into just the areas, Lord, of religious frustration, Lord. In our marriages, Lord, in our families, Lord, in how we raise our children, Lord. Jesus, we call you into our homes. We call you into our discipline. We call you into our parenting, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We call you into those areas, Lord, where we've given up. Call you into those areas where we had a Jesus plus this, Jesus plus that, fill in the dots. Lord, we're erasing the plus, dot, dot, dot. It's just Jesus Christ, King of Kings. We invite you in, come and rule and reign. I feel there's some of us that when we do intercession, we do it from a tense, frustrated place. You actually do intercession with a knot in your stomach. God's releasing that knot. He wants you to do it from a place where you relax, a place where you surrender, a place where it's faith flowing. It's just, Lord, I'm walking on water here. I don't know what the result's going to be at the end of the day, Lord. I don't know. I just know I have to apply Jesus. I have to apply Jesus Christ to my finances. I have to apply Jesus Christ to my relationships. I have to apply Jesus Christ to my health. I have to apply Jesus Christ to my family. Forgive us, Lord, for applying dirt, for applying chemicals that burn our skin and that hurt us, for believing the lie of the wicked one, for believing the lie of religion, for becoming mechanical. God, we're returning to an intimate, relational washing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship leier is in trane, so kom ons gaan drink koffie. Stel op die koffie, hou.
Thank you. I just have the experience that I need to share with you. We are not righteous, we are made righteous. And we are clothed with Christ. And the word says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Christ. So never be ashamed of your righteousness. Don't be scared to stand out in a world where they want you to not be righteous. Don't be ashamed of your righteousness.
Thank you, Stefanie.
Trek, kan ek ook gou iets share asseblief?
Jy kan ook iets.
Ek het daarom maatjie. So, aan die begin van die jaar, ek het voordat ek Woester toe gekom het, aan die begin van elke jaar, ek verjaar aan die begin van die jaar. So dan vra ek altyd vir Here, my birthday is in the beginning of the year, and then I always ask the Lord to give me something this year that I need to work on. And I started writing down things very long ago, things that I realized I need to work on, not to tell myself I'm so bad and all these things you need to work on, but just to know that there's still some way to go and still something I can focus on. But then especially in the beginning of the year, I asked the Lord, okay, show me what I need to be focusing on this year. And the beginning of this year, I was really struggling to think, okay, what does the Lord want me to work on? And my mom gave me a scripture on my birthday, and it's the scripture of being set apart and holy. And I really just, right there, I just felt that your holiness, that's what I need to focus on. But for so long, I've just been struggling, okay, how do I do this? I don't know. How can I work on this holiness? How can I become more holy? And last night I
yo, I had just had an entire meltdown and I was practicing for worship today and I just felt like, yo, Lord, I can't do this tomorrow. I can't lead worship. I don't have anything in me to do this. Since we came back from our mission in Swaziland, yo, the enemy has just really been lying and attacking so much and trying to take so much. And yo, just telling me that you don't have anything you can give, you know. And yo, and so many lies that I know are lies. But yo, just today, yo, in this sermon, yo, it was just really spoke so much to my heart. And yo, just Jesus coming to tell me, you know what, I've got this. You don't have to. I've got this. Just follow me. And you will become more holy because you're following me, not because of anything that you can do. And, you know, this just really spoke to my heart. And, you know, so thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. It's encouraging to hear. Hallelujah. Good. Okay. Amen.